The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We have to remark on the passing of Mary O'Rourke, the former Fianna Fáil TD and Cabinet Minister. She was a Fianna Fáil TD for several decades and held three different ministries. She was Minister for Education, Minister for Health and Minister for Public Enterprise. The Taoiseach who made her Minister for Public Enterprise was Bertie Ahern. He also made her Deputy Party Leader, and she held that role until 2002. She has passed away at the age of 87. Norma Foley is also a Fianna Fáil TD and is now the Minister for Education, and she is with me. Minister, you're welcome to the show. And before we talk about anything else, budgets or phone pouches, I'm sure you want to remark on the passing of your predecessor.
Thanks very much, Kieran. I do indeed. It's a day of great, great sadness for us, not just in the Fianna Fáil party, but I think, you know, right across the country. You know, Mary O'Rourke has left an enormously rich legacy in terms of all that she achieved in education and all that she achieved in public life. You know, she was affectionately known as Mammy because she was that. She was a Mammy to all. But she was equally a woman of enormous determination and courage. And she was a role model also, I think, for particularly young women who had an interest in becoming involved in politics. You know, I used to always say to Mary, she paved the way. And I sincerely meant that. You know, she showed us that there was potential and possibility for an equality in the world of politics where women could and should have their place in politics. So, you know, she's associated with so many innovations and initiatives. And that's not just in the world of education, across all of her portfolios. So I really do want to extend my very sincere sympathy to her family, to her community. And I know her admirers right across the country. We are the lesser for her passing, but greater for her enormous contribution to Irish life. She was a legend, really, in so many respects. We will miss her dearly.
Yeah, and she was always very, very giving of her time in her kind of post-politics career, kind of to shows like this and to others and to students and everybody else who wanted to share a bit of her experience or tap into that experience and that brain power. So yeah, she would be sadly missed by a lot of people, and as you say, thoughts are with her family and her friends and her community. Today, let's talk a little bit about politics of today and the budget and budgetary decisions made a couple of days ago. In particular, the €9 million allocated in the budget that will help to fund the storing of students' phones during the school day, something we talked about on the show yesterday with Conor Murphy, who's an English teacher in Skibbereen.
I mean, they're not needed, first of all. Nobody's called for them. Nobody's asked for them. No teachers asked for them. No student, obviously, has asked for them. No parent has asked for them. There's no need for them. Some of the teachers didn't know about it at work today. When I told them, they kind of, their jaws dropped. And like the words like ludicrous, silly, stupid, what's the point? They're kind of, they're confused looks on their faces. And then I said, oh, it is 9 million. And they go, 9 million? Like, it's completely unnecessary. Our students took out their phone the other day in my class. You might not be able to believe this, but they actually had their phone on, and I caught them. And what I did was I said, give me your phone. And do you know what they did? They gave me their phone.
That was Conor Murphy. He's an English teacher in Skibbereen in West Cork. Minister, there's a lot of people, not just Conor Murphy, kind of scratching their heads at this. Why are we spending this money?
Yeah, I think, look, in the first instance, I think when you would look at this in isolation, and you would say, well, it's a lot of money. But I think when you delve down and when you tease it through, I think there's a very strong explanation as to why this is happening. So in the first instance, if you look at all of the research, both national and international research, it's very, very clearly telling us that young people, in particular, their learning is being significantly impeded. Their socialization, their ability to chat with one another, even in a school setting, you know, they're constantly in their phones, they're on their phones during break of class, lunch breaks and whatever. And it's interesting, for example, UNESCO has told us, in fact, that for the entire school day, there should be a ban on phones. And they have said, for example, when a student is interrupted in terms of, you know, a beep or a message coming through on their phone, it takes them 20 minutes to re-engage with the learning that's happening in a classroom. We're also told about, you know, everything from cyberbullying to the need for, if you like, a mental health break from the phones. So we're very clear. What we're seeking to achieve here is that our schools would be a phone-free zone. And to do that, and I acknowledge schools are doing their best, and I visit schools right across the country. And it is an issue in schools. And one of the issues that's raised with me by staff, in actual fact, is that they don't have the time to lose from a teaching and learning point of view in the classroom, confiscating phones, sending the phones to the office, ensuring that the students have their phones switched off or whatever. There's a huge amount of time lost in school. That's not the job of the staff in school to be doing that. What is the job and what is being proposed is that when students go into the school, there will be an opportunity in this pouch that they will be magnetically sealed, their phones put away for the day, and they cannot be accessed or opened until they go to this docking station or whatever to open up in the evening. So it's really, you know, if you look at right across, all the evidence tells us, whether it's in Belgium or Spain or whatever, the education outcomes improved when phones were banned in schools. And I have to say, the issue of mobile phones is raised with me by an enormous number of parents.
I don't think anybody is dismissive of how big a problem it is. I think the issue that people have is that, well, a smartphone on its own probably costs several hundred euro, and the cheapest plans to run a smartphone will cost a couple of hundred euro a year. That surely schools should be asking parents if a child is going to turn up with a phone to school because they need it for after school activities or whatever it happens to be, that they have to provide a pouch that gets locked at the front of the school. Why are we spending taxpayers' money on this when the phones themselves are funded by the parents to the tune of hundreds and hundreds of euro?
Absolutely. And I just on that one, you know, many principals have engaged in discussions on this over the last number of days as well. And so some of them have been very clear and they've said, you know, they've had to go to other resources if they wanted to procure things like these magnetically sealed pouches. Some of the parents did not have the 20 plus euro to give to their child to purchase it. And we're working really, really hard in education to ensure that we're lifting costs and pressures from parents. So we've introduced the free school books right across so that every child is equal. We've introduced now free school meals.
But Minister, I'm not denying the reality of hardship and deprivation, but how many parents out there who can afford a phone and a smartphone plan with a SIM card for their kids can't afford between 10 and 20 euro as a once-off payment for a pouch?
And I accept that, but it's not uniform in our schools. It's not happening the same in all of our schools. And we want every student, when they enter post-primary, to know that the same rules apply in every single school. And so what we're saying to the general public, we're saying we have 400,000 students. We're asking for an investment of in and around 20 euro. And what we're saying is that investment is a once-off investment, because the money will be, the pouches or the magnetic seals or whatever will be in the ownership of the school. So they will be used year in, year out. And I know I've heard people say, could not that money have been put into, additional support staff, SNA staff or whatever? Well, it's a once-off payment. We only have that money available to us this year. And just in terms of, you know, people have raised, you know, could we have had additional SNAs? We've made provision for 1,600 additional SNAs. I wouldn't have that funding on an ongoing basis. I have it once. We have ensured that there are free books right across the system. We've ensured that there are free meals at primary school. So we've had a budget that is a significant budget, and it is doing an awful lot of work. But we want our schools to be places where all of the children are equal, where they can freely learn and study, where they can socialise without the interruption of the mobile phone. It's not the job of the staff to be policing this. It's not the job of them to lose 50% of their teaching and learning
time. It's not the job of staff either to tell kids to not smoke on school grounds. But they still have spent their entire careers doing it, and it's a reality. And yes, some kids will still sneak a cigarette down the back of the bike sheds. But, you know, this is just the reality of school. Like, are we not making something complicated that could be much more simple and just say you're not allowed to use a phone in the school, like that teacher, Conor Murphy in Skibbereen, said, and if you see them using a phone, you take it for the rest of the week?
Yeah,
I can't imagine too many kids would be using phones for that much longer if they were losing it for the entire week.
But again, I'd have to say to you, you know, if you have a 1,000 pupil school, that's a fair demand now to confiscate 1,000 phones and or whatever and keep them in a box or whatever, if you have 500 or 800 students. But also on that
line,
but
the point is, you're not going to be confiscating 1,000 phones. You might have to confiscate a handful. Again, I give the smoking example. I mean, if all the kids are smoking cigarettes in the corridors and you say, right, I'm going to ban this, they're not all going to smoke cigarettes the next day. The first couple might, and then you expel them for the rest of the week and everybody else would be quick to stop.
Well, I suppose I would say to you that, you know, I've been teaching for more than 25 years now. And even though phones are confiscated, it does not deter students. I know that from my own personal experience of being in a classroom every day.
Some people will find a way, but people will find a way with the pouches. I mean, the stories of kids putting old phones into the pouch. Like, there's no way for a teacher. Again, you say it's not the job of teachers to police this. They have too much to be doing. Teachers are still going to have to police it because kids are putting old phones into the bag. How are you going to manage that? If I turn up at the school as a student and you're my teacher and you hold open the pouch and I put in last year's iPhone into it, how are you going to know I've done that?
And again, I'm going to say to you, what we are seeking is an understanding and a support for schools that they are mobile-free phone zones, that there's no phone acceptable in the school. No, I absolutely accept there will always be exceptions. There will always be the odd aberration here and there. But the prevailing atmosphere in the school is where everybody is checking in the morning. It's magnetically sealed and then it's opened in the evening. That will be the predominant experience within the school because everybody will be equal. There will be no exception. No child will be different. They will all be equal in this respect. And I want to, for example, you've quoted a teacher there. I could also quote to you the principal from De La Salle in Churchtown, who has already written very eloquently and spoken eloquently about the fact that provision of these type of magnetically sealed opportunities for the phones has been transformative for their students, has ensured that they have all been equal and the atmosphere.
So they did it with this is the thing. I don't think anyone has an issue with the pouches. Improved. That teacher in De La Salle, that principal, went and did it. He didn't need the government to give him the money.
Well, and again,
that's the point. Like, by all means, fire away. Do it if you want. If it works, let all schools do it. Issue a circular to the schools encouraging them to do it. Tell them where they can buy it.
And again, I just want to say to you, you know, I'm really, really conscious that some of those principals raised with us, that that there was money borrowed from other agencies, whether it was Vincent de Paul or whatever, to ensure that a child was in a position to have this magnetically sealed pouch. I don't think that's right. You know, we worked very hard this year, for example, in terms of the grant that's going to the to schools in terms of ensuring that they would have enough money for light or heat or whatever the case might be. 300 million euro. In capitation gone in. A 12% increase this year in addition to a 9% increase being provided to schools to fund things like heat and light and everything else. If we want all of our children to be equal, we need to step up and pay the 20 euro to create this atmosphere, to create this no phone zone within our schools. I think 20 euro for a mental health initiative, for a well-being initiative, for a learning initiative in a school, I think it's a good one. It's worth investing 20 euro.
You know the parent, who went to Vincent de Paul to borrow 20 euro to buy the pouch themselves. How do you think they're funding the phone bill every month? How do they buy the phone in the first place?
Listen, I can't get into the mindset of any individual parent. I can't, you know, for example, some parents would say to you, yes, they have purchased a phone for a safety point of view for their children. They, you know, whether their children are going to school or coming home from school, they want that security of the child having the phone. How much access, the paying of the bills or whatever, they've made that investment. I can't say whether they all have the money or don't have the money for this mechanism that will be owned by the school. It will belong to the school, it will be used by the school, and it will be reused by the school. It won't be owned by the parent, it won't be an investment by the parent, it will be an investment for each individual student that is in the care of the school. And it's a once-off investment because it will continue to be owned by the school.
Minister for Education, Norma Foley. Minister, thank you very, very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.